I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome to Hysteria. I'm Erin Ryan here with my pals, Kieran Deal.
Hi.
And Megan Gailey.
What's up? I'm going on airplane mode.
Oh, good.
I'm dedicated to this.
Oh, yeah.
I got a text from my mom.
This week, Kieran Deal and Megan Gailey join me to talk about female governors, the sad state of maternity leave, and the surprisingly contentious issue of parades. Then we tackle the pink tax, the week in Sorry, and I'll have what she's having. And stay tuned to find out which one of us doesn't believe in astrology. Hint, it's me. First, we're going to do a little housekeeping. Hysteria's first live show. First live show!
Wow!
This Sunday at Outside Lands in San Francisco. We're at 4 p.m. on Sunday. It's going to be me, Megan, and Grace Parra, who you heard last week and who you will hear this coming week. We're going to be recording it, so if you can't make it, you'll hear it. But if you're there, please stop by. We would love to see you. Secondly, I've been getting a lot of tweets and emails from people who want to know who does our theme song, and it's Sizzy Rocket, S-I-Z-Z-Y, Rocket. She's amazing. You can find her on Spotify and all over the place, and so you can check out the theme song in its entirety on Spotify, on other platforms, and other stuff that she's done, too. She's a really great artist, and a little shine thrown her way. Third announcement, I want to let you guys know that our inbox has been absolutely flooded with dick pics. I know I said the first time I gave out our email address, hysteria@crooked.com, that, you know, don't send us pictures of actual male anatomy, but we would welcome pictures of men named Dick. We've gotten maybe 100 photos of men named Dick. Just all kinds of Dick's Cavett and Dick's York, Dick's Sergeant, Nixon, Cheney, all kinds of Dicks.
Any unknown Dicks?
All the Dicks were known Dicks to me.
Oh, okay. There
were also some people who kind of stretched the definition. They didn't literally give me a Dick. They just gave me a person they would call a Dick. So I've gotten a Stephen Miller photo.
Okay.
It's been really... Our listeners are just a great bunch of fucking jackasses. So thank you for that, for all the dick pics. We're also getting them tweeted at us now, which is a lot of fun. Great. If you want to send us a dick pic or an email, or if you want us to bring up something, or you know of a woman that's making waves in her industry, you can reach us at hysteria@crooked.com. I try to read every email. We get a lot of them. Sometimes I forget for a few days, and then I look at the inbox, and I'm like, and I close it. But send us emails. We try to read all of them, and we love hearing from you. Now I want to move on to the news. There was some special elections yesterday. Kansas, Chris Kobach, who in June was told by a judge that he needed to go back to law school. He was literally ordered to complete, I believe, 6 weeks of additional legal training because he was so bad at arguing a case. Anyway, he's going to be the Republican candidate for governor in Kansas now. So that's fun. That's fun. His entire legal career has been him spectacularly losing cases where he argued the most xenophobic possible position. Well, and he's one of those guys that's kind of in Trump's circle who looks like his hair has been done by a tiny lawnmower. And not that how your hair looks matters, but it does if I hate you.
It also does if you have enough money to run for governor.
Yeah.
Get your shit together.
Yeah, right. Seriously. But you know what?
Take a page out of one of these extramarital affair people.
Yeah.
And put some money into your looks.
Into your appearance.
Extramarital affair people. We're referring to Rick Gates, I believe. Mm-hmm. He doesn't look like he spends any money on his appearance.
That's a good point.
Rick Gates, Paul Manafort's deputy, admitted yesterday that he spent $3 million on an affair.
Hell yeah, girl.
How?
I love the way it was like, I would need five. I would need five. Have you seen that man? Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. So there's that. But here's a couple of things that happened yesterday. Democrats lost in Ohio by a razor sharp margin, but an L's an L.
It's still, I heard today the Republicans have been like, we're claiming victory, but there's still 8,000 write-ins and provisional ballots that haven't been counted
right.
yet.
Right, so it could be Mickey Mouse that won.
Yeah, it could be.
What was the margin, do you know?
This morning I heard on NPR that it was 1,754
yeah.
votes,
okay,
which 8, was so. Like 0.9%, I believe, which means, I think in Ohio, a 0.5% difference triggers an automatic recount. So when these other votes come in, there's a bunch of stuff could okay. change. But, you know, regardless, the vote is a lot closer than Republicans wanted. Yeah. Also, a right-to-work law got struck down by voters in Missouri. That's cool. Here's another quick thing, though, about elections yesterday and moving into the fall, because we are, God, so close to the midterms. So close to the midterms. If you're not registered to vote, you need to register immediately. And because I guess what happened yesterday is a great example. Like, it could be this close.
Yeah.
It could be this close where you live, even if you think you live in a deep red state. But here's a cool thing. Hold on to your butts. A wave of female governors could be coming in the fall. There are...
Is that an ABC show?
Hold on to your butts.
Female governors coming this fall.
Yeah, it's sort of like, remember in the 80s when there was a whole genre of what a man caring for a baby? How
oh,
funny.
Yeah.
Like, that's going to be the new, like, the 20-teen genre of that's crazy. A woman governor? This is true. In 1980, as of 1980, only five states had female governors ever.
And that's ever. Wow.
As of 1980, nearly half of the states still have not yet had a female governor. And it's 2018. People who were born in 1980 are like, it's gross. Six states currently have female governors. So wow. 6 out of 50. That is not great. And there have only been 39 female governors in U.S. history.
Oh my gosh.
It's crazy that like New York, California, and Florida, because those are the three with the biggest electoral,
yeah,
like just the biggest electoral college votes for the presidency. Like none of those three have had female governor.
Yeah,
it's like a little that made me feel a little poopy diaper. Not gonna lie, I felt a little poopy diaper with that because it's like
New York, California. Come on,
what
we're supposed
doing?
To be these coastal elites.
That's what I mean. It's like
we're letting ourselves down.
Yeah, it's a weird circumstance. The New York Times piece about this suggested that because women are often viewed as more likely to compromise and get along, that they are more likely to be successful running for like legislative positions or for Senate. And governors are viewed as sort of like the state boss. And so people are voting for men because they believe men are better bosses, even though we're in a Me Too era where we've established that men are not better bosses. But regardless. So here are some women that are running for governor: Janet Mills, Stacey Abrams in Georgia, Paulette Jordan in Idaho, who, if she won, would be the first ever elected Native American governor, which is very cool. Kristi Noem, who's a Republican in South Dakota. Last night, Gretchen Whitmer won her primary in Michigan. There are women running to run for governor they're running in primaries in Wisconsin and Minnesota. Also super interesting. So that's, you know, that's kind of like sad-gressive, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really wanted, when you announced each of those names, I really wanted to hear like, boom, 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 like after each one. And then
the
like,
starting
yeah,
lineup.
Yeah, exactly. Janet Mills. You know what I mean? That's what
the
I
The female
was.
Governors as the Harlem Globetrotters.
That's right. Yeah.
Next, and against the Washington Generals,
yeah.
literally. Next time I'll let you do it, Kieran.
Right. The rest of the podcast actually should just be dedicated to these names and just saying them over and over again.
That
40
would,
minutes of just...
That would be so avant-garde. Mm-hmm. Great. Meanwhile, there's another piece in the New York Times about how a lot of men who have been accused of sexual harassment are just running for office anyway.
Why not? Go get it. I just
want
to have the confidence. I just want to have that confidence of a mediocre asshole sexual harasser.
Well, because there must be a conversation, too, of like, okay, well, we got to figure this out. What you did, we feel like you can still do it. You know,
you grabbed a couple boobs.
Yes,
you said a couple
behind...
things. You sent a couple pictures.
Yes.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah. Trump has let us dream big in that way.
He really has. He's opened up a lot. And I really have appreciated that of all the inconsistencies in his policies, in his public statements, in what his press shop says, he has always fallen on the side of sexual harassers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Roy Moore, He, when Missouri's governor was accused of one of the most egregiously awful cases of like sexual harassment, where it's like, you shouldn't be working anywhere, much less being governor of anything. Yeah, Donald Trump has really stood up for sexual harassers. When, what was it, Rob Porter, his former staffer, who couldn't get security clearance because he was alleged to have abused two of his wives, Donald Trump stood up for him. It's just, you know, that's his moral consistency.
It's really one of the very few bipartisan
it really
things
is.
That, you know, it's like our dicks bring us together.
It reaches across the aisle,
really
that dick
does. It really does.
That foot tap goes across the
yeah.
aisle.
Yeah.
Oh,
that
man.
That hand on the knee across the aisle. That hand on the knee. It's just like from Democrat to Republican. It's like, you're my aide, you're my intern, but it just doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Donkeys, elephants, they all do it.
Yeah. One of the things that I've been thinking about is, it just seems like a lot of men seek power because they feel like it gets them access to sex from women who maybe wouldn't give them attention otherwise. And so now that that's being called into question, they're really rejecting that. They're like, well, why'd I even fucking do this? You know?
Yeah, good.
Well, like if I can't even, it's like if I got a job and they were like, here's your paycheck. You can't spend it on rent. I'd be like, well, why did they get a job? You know? And I think that, I don't know, it just seems like that's part of the psychology of people who like violently reject this sort of thing.
Right. I think that means we'll see less of them running, hopefully, then. More of them as strip club DJs. Not saying you're all bad. Actually, I would trust a strip club DJ to protect me more than a congressman.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. I'd rather have you walk me to my car.
I think strip club DJs probably know exactly when something is taking a turn and can like let someone know.
Probably have some of the highest levels of integrity out of all the professions, if we're being honest.
They're just there for the music, truly, at the end of the day.
It's about the love.
It is.
The love of the beats.
The love and the music. I wanted to add one more thing. Why are women, you don't, look, I'm talking, well, most of the people listening to this are probably women, but you're beautiful. You do not need to sleep with Rick Gates or Paul Manafort or Donald Trump or the guy Brady who allegedly impregnated the Playboy playmate. You're worthwhile. You are worth more than these jowly, chinless suits. Don't sleep with these people. I don't care if they're getting you nice hotels. We need to unionize, women.
Mm-hmm.
We need to unionize and declare
ourselves hotels.
Yeah, get ourselves hotels. Have a giant sleepover in the penthouse. Watch Party Girl with Parker Posey. So just kind of to close the thing about the elections yesterday, I don't like horse race journalism and I don't like talking about it like, oh, and this means, what does this thing in Ohio mean for Republicans in Oregon? Like, it doesn't mean dick. Every place is different. But what it does show is that there are places that are deeply Republican that are in deep shit now, if you're a Republican, because there's been a huge blue swing. But at the same time, you know, moral victories don't matter if we're not actually winning. So I don't want people to let go of, I mean, this is going to sound very like Batman villain, but like, don't let go of the memory of how fearful you were on the day after Election Day 2016. Like, hold on to that as you're working toward 2018.
Let that fire burn inside.
Yeah. Embrace the fear.
I heard the metaphor.
Boop, 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 boop. One more news story before we move on to our deep dive this week. The FMLA, which does not stand for the Fuck My Life Act. It stands for the Family the Family Medical Leave Act. It's 25 years old this year.
Okay, girl.
FMLA is the pathetic excuse for parental leave that we have in this country. Before that, we had nothing, but this guarantees 12 weeks of unpaid leave to care for a new baby or, I believe, a sick relative.
Yes.
So we're one of, I think, 3 or 4 countries in the world. We're in the company of, I believe, like Papua New Guinea. Like, it's just countries that maybe aren't as economically advanced or global as we are. And we still don't have any paid paternal leave, and it's very pathetic. But luckily, feminist heroes Marco Rubio and Ivanka Trump have a great idea.
No, bah, 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 for
yeah,
them.
Yeah, I was thinking about it, but then I was like, yeah, that's better.
That's like a disco siren thing, but it like descends, so it's like sad. Everybody,
it's when the horn gets broken.
Sad, aggressive strip club DJ music.
So Marco Rubio's new plan would let people use their retirement money if they want to take paid parental leave. So basically, if you have a baby and you want to take paid leave, you can, but you have to retire 6 weeks later. Which is basically...
I'm only laughing because it is.
It's so
bad. I hope you curse that kid for those 6 weeks, too. Like, you know I want to be the fuck out of here.
Well, it's also like, oh, God.
The only way you can beat the system is if you die early.
Hell yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You need to have, like, six kids, and then it's, like, six to 44 children.
Mm-hmm.
Take all the leave from your Social Security, and then, like, die before you retire, but like real early.
Yeah. Well, luckily stress contributes to mortality. So the stress of not of having to work until you're 80 years old might just kill you anyway before you have to worry about declaring bankruptcy as an elderly person, which there was a piece. I swear I read things besides the New York Times, but there was another piece in the New York Times about old people having to declare bankruptcy, which is a growing demographic and people should be worried. But
I used to work at a continuing care retirement community. So that's you can come in at any age and health, and then if you buy into it, you go through, you can go up to all the way to 24-hour care, and we had people that had to move out because they ran out of money, and there's nothing sadder than seeing an elderly person wheeled out of the nursing home they're in to be going to a worse nursing home that they don't want to be in.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a quote from Marco Rubio in this that it's so funny because even when he's trying to be like good, he still is an asshole. He was like, caring for a sick loved one shouldn't bankrupt you. No medical issue should bankrupt you. Yeah. If you fall ill, you shouldn't be bankrupt. If anything, if you get in a fucking car accident and you bang your head too hard and you can't go to work, you shouldn't. Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing medical related should bankrupt you in any way.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is like they're touching on like a tip of the iceberg that it's like, yeah, this should have already fucking happened.
Right. You know, the fact that this FMLA, the Marco Rubio Ivanka Trump plan, which to be fair has not been, it hasn't been prioritized by the House. This is clearly just a PR move. So people are like, yeah, I did something.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when you, if you're ever out like in a group eating situation or you're out with a friend and you offer to pick up the check and they like, make the least good, like, pretend move for the wallet ever.
My dad calls it crocodile arms.
Yeah.
Mm.
Right, but they're crocodile arming, like, increasing access to family leave here because I don't think Marco Rubio really wants to fix it because the Republican Party hasn't prioritized fixing this.
The unpaid maternity... I had a bunch of friends who had kids. Like, I had six friends have babies, like, within the last, like, 8 months, and it's like your body physically, like, it's like there is a physical repair process that needs to happen. You know what I mean? Like when you have a child, it's like they're all wearing diapers, they're all like they have stitches. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Stuff is leaking out of extra orifices, real sexy stuff. But
Ali Wong has a lot of great material.
Yeah, she does. And yeah. It's like, but if the fact that there is no coverage for us as a country, like, mm-hmm. there's no onus on our nation
most husbands go back to work. Like, I remember calling a friend and being like, where's Matt? And she's like, oh, Matt's gone. Like, Matt,
yeah.
Matt's at the office. And I'm like, no, you can't be. No. I signed up to be a friend of this baby because I thought two of you were going to be doing this deal together.
Right. And it's like a new life. There's Excel spreadsheets that need to be filled out, you know? So it's like.
But it's also like, if you take a look at who is making the laws, and this goes back to the first point about how. Right. Just as a microcosm of the problem, there have only been 39 female governors, and I think we're still only 20% of the House and the Senate, and that is the highest percentage women have ever been. Like, it is clear that people are making laws have no idea how women's bodies work, nor do they have any curiosity about how women's bodies work. It almost seems like they have an aversion to finding out what women's needs are, what the needs of mothers are, what the needs of families are, because what they would like to do is kind of be the... I think the Congress is, if it were a person, it would be a 50s dad smoking
shitty
a cigar
yeah.
in the waiting room while his wife was in labor.
And the other thing you can't forget is that all of those people are quite wealthy as far as the standards go. So it's like, because a lot of senators, a lot of people in government do have children. They mm-hmm. have wives and they have children. But it's like, it doesn't affect them to the same level
mm-hmm.
because... they have money, like, and when you have money or, like, your wife doesn't have to work for that time, it kind of, it's like it doesn't affect you.
Right. You know, a lot of people who are wealthy, this isn't a dirty little secret because I don't think it's bad for people to acknowledge that it's easier to raise children if you have help. But a lot of wealthy people, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, for example, Kellyanne Conway, Ivanka Trump, they all have nannies.
Mm-hmm.
They all have people that are usually women of lower economic echelons that they pay you know, hopefully a living wage, but not always, to take care of their children. And a lot of wealthy people do that. A lot of people are like, oh, I can't imagine how we would get along without a nanny. And it's like, yeah, there are two parents, there's two kids, and also a nanny. So the adults outnumber the children, and the parents are still raising kids is exhausting.
But, and there's a night nurse, too. I love the way I was like, who are your friends, Erin? Wow.
I mean, I've got a lot of friends.
I had a friend, she was like, I have a night nurse. And she goes, it's a Southern thing. And my mom goes, it's a rich thing. Mm.
Your mom sounds awesome. Bring
She's
her in.
She's pretty fun. She's pretty fun.
We're really getting to know the Gailies.
I know, I'm
the
sorry.
Dad, the crocodile arms.
I had a therapist tell me I loved my family too much.
I always say that the American dream is to have, you know, as an immigrant, it's to have other immigrants.
Yeah.
Raise your children for you.
To never see your kids.
That's right. That's the American dream. And I always like to say it's white immigrants. I want to have white immigrants raise my children.
Ooh,
and I've really made it.
That's what it is.
Karen, a lot of times when we're discussing FMLA, family leave, maternity leave, paternity leave, we hear people say like, well, at least it's something. So there's a, well, at least it's something argument for this sort of a thing too, right?
Yeah, I thought that was really interesting. There's an article in the Washington Examiner by Patrice Lee Onwuka. I hope I'm saying that right. And I thought it's like cynical, but it was very practical. And she was talking about Black mothers. And she's essentially saying it's like, yes, it's not a good option to have to take, you know, Social Security and then put that forward into your maternity leave. But it is a thing that could get passed potentially because mm-hmm. it doesn't add payroll taxes. It's not going to be a wage garnish for everyone that would have to be passed in the House and the Senate. So that's nobody wants to pass tax bills. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
I mean, we can cut taxes for the rich.
Right.
But like,
always.
We definitely yeah. can't raise taxes just tiny amounts.
Where are you going to get that night nurse money?
For the moms.
Yeah, that's true. I do need night nurse money.
Where are you going to get that night nurse money? Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I did think that I thought that was interesting that she was like, you know, if you're making $30,000 a year and you're able to borrow from yourself at $4,000 a year and you can make the case in a kind of really swampy, mired kind of political system that we have, and you can kind of make the case and say, listen, nobody's taxes are going to go up. This is kind of no harm, no foul. People are just borrowing from themselves. It would mm-hmm. be a thing that would kind of be a good stopgap for a lot of people so that they don't have to go on government assistance, mm-hmm. you know, kind of get them back to work, whatever. And, mm-hmm. and so for vulnerable populations, I just thought it almost like the argument came out of the cynicism that it's going to take a lot longer mm-hmm. to pass something that would be
That's better.
That's correct.
I mean, I think there's a lot to think about here, and it's something, but it's also clear that what we have is bad. And
right.
the FMLA is 25 years old, and we haven't come up with anything better. That fucking sucks.
Yeah.
That really sucks. Anyway, we have to take a break. When we come back, we're going to take a deep dive into the pink tax. And we're back. We're going to talk a little bit about the pink tax in our deep dive this week. Pink tax is how women's products are often made smaller and more expensive. And that manifests as a tax that we physically have to pay on maintaining ourselves or looking okay enough to leave the house. The reason I'm thinking about this is there was a piece in the New York Times op-ed page this past weekend written by a woman who was talking about waiting in line for free lipsticks from MAC. Which are like $18, I think. It's been a long time since I bought a lipstick from
Plus
MAC.
Tax.
18 something plus tax. And these women were waiting in line for like an hour for a free lipstick.
Oh.
Yeah. Is your time worth $18.50 an hour? Like, would you?
More. I think she waited more.
Well, yeah.
Oh, she hit an hour. And then she was like,
even in it, and which is sort of like the place I come from too, is like, yeah, but there's camaraderie. You make friends. You know, like you're around like-minded women.
Yeah. Well, that's something that, you know, she wrote in this piece about how capitalism makes women the losers because the things that we buy are mostly expensive. And then there's products that we purchase that men don't have to worry about purchasing. And so, you know, one of the things she points out is they don't make like men's lipstick or anything like that. So that was something that I was thinking about. I was also thinking about, you know, the amount of time that we have to spend getting ready every day to look okay to leave the house. I work in a writer's room, and my male coworkers are super nice guys, but I can tell most of the time it took them maybe 10 minutes to get ready, and my female coworkers, maybe 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Mm.
And when you add all that together, it's like, how much time do you spend a year looking at yourself in the mirror and painting your own face? You know? I don't know. This is something that I've been thinking about a lot. And I also was thinking about this because there is a trailer for a new movie that just hit Twitter this week called Napoli Ever After. And it's about a black woman's relationship with her hair, mm-hmm. which is something that you don't often see depicted in pop culture.
Yeah.
It's kind mm-hmm. of something that, but you know, in the trailer, the main character says that her hair has become like a second job for her. Karen, I wonder what you think about the way that beauty standards affect specifically women of color and the way that the pink tax maybe more disproportionately affects women of color.
I mean, the thing that struck me about this is like, if you are earning less already and then you have to spend more on products, it's like, that's like, you're, it's like a double negative. It's like a double loss for you, which is like super, super shitty. But there's also like this thing with looking good, because you were like, how much time? And I know there's like this idea that, oh, I can just like opt out of that thing. But mm-hmm. think about like when you, like, I had a friend one time, and I love this example. She like goes to the bank. She goes to her bank, right? And it's like, and sometimes she goes looking like a homeless person. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Just like, you know, wearing her garbage bag of an outfit and like, you know, no makeup on, whatever. Goes like dressed up one time, like maybe coming from work or whatever, gets treated like a different person. Like
yeah.
the same people will be like, oh, hello, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Oh, would you like a place in the law? Like, oh, gonna go.
Here's a mimosa.
Yeah, here's exactly. It's just like, you're the same person, but like you do get treated differently. And I'm sure a lot of people listening to this podcast can attest to this. It's like when you look nicer, when you just look better, people are nicer to you.
Mm-hmm.
And that has social and cultural capital. Like I know for myself, it's like, it like growing up, like as like a very hairy person, this is a problem that a lot of like Indian people have, like on the plus side, can sell my hair for rent money. But like, you know, on the minus side, it's like just the amount of time you've spent waxing your legs, going to electrolysis, like all that shit. It's very expensive. And it's like, technically, could you just like not do any of that? Sure. But then you're like not going to want to wear shorts or a skirt or like participate in this way, like, you know what I mean, like mm-hmm. in the culture, because it's like, we're like, I know you can make that stance, but then it becomes like a stance.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you're doing something outside of the norm, and then that's going to take time, effort, energy. You're gonna you know, it's gonna be a whole thing.
Yeah.
And maybe you just want to put your fucking time into other shit. Uh-huh. You know.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of self-perpetuating, though, because it's, we all opt in. We're all like, okay, well, this is how we have to look in order to be accepted, and so we continue to do it, and so it becomes a thing that we all have to continue to do. This is another reason we need to unionize, guys. We need to be like, okay, this is an okay thing for us to do because it makes us feel better about ourselves and it doesn't take much time or money. This is a thing we're not going to do anymore. And, you know, Karen, your point about if you choose to not participate in a certain way, then it becomes your thing. There have been times when I've lived in like liberal enclaves for my entire adulthood. And even still, if I'm like at a concert, at a bar, whatever, hanging out with a friend, and I look down and I see that she just like hasn't shaved her legs, or like just is a woman who doesn't shave her legs, it always is like, ah, like for a second, I have
right.
this like little second of like, oh, she doesn't shave her legs.
Yeah.
And it's a thing that I wish it's a thing that I didn't notice. I wish it was something that women could choose to do or not do and have it be fine. But even for me, somebody who spends a lot of time thinking about things that women are expected to do or ways they're expected to spend their time and money and energy, that's something that I notice. And it's like, oh, fuck, I've got it. It's ingrained. It's stuck in me, you know?
I love hair and makeup. I really do. And
hair? The leg hair or the head hair?
I just love it all. I really, in that sense mm-hmm. of like, you know, when I was a baby, I probably like held a hairbrush and those things. And I think that's sort of at the core of what feminism, do I wish I could spend less money on it? Absolutely. I don't know if I would stop doing it though, because I do find such great joy. I'm in a Facebook beauty group. It's the only reason I go on Facebook mm-hmm. is to just like talk to people, see their pictures. It's all female comedians too. And it's the one Facebook group I've been with that's all women that hasn't been shut down, because like someone hasn't like shared a secret or been like, he did the, you know, like
yeah.
we all are just truly focused on makeup. And I find so much joy in it. But I have started not wearing makeup on stage because I like to give my face a day off. And it's something that when I do it, I always bring it up on stage. Because it's like, I want you to know that I'm not usually like this. Like, I'm almost apologizing for it. And it's like, oh, I wish it was just okay to do it and not have to address it in any way. But it is something I really do take joy from. But then I hear you and I'm like, yeah, but I remember begging to get my makeup done for the first bat mitzvah I was going to, you know? And then I was like rushing to leave the house and my mom was like, where's your lipstick? And so I like went back and put my lipstick on because we had bought it. And I think that's it too. It's like, well, we own all this shit. We might as well use it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. One time, that actually reminded me, Megan, one time I was in the makeup chair at CNN. And I showed up. I normally wear like bright red lipstick when I'm on TV because I started doing it and then I just couldn't stop doing it because every time I would go, the makeup people would be like, yay, it's your your signature.
Yes.
So I showed up one day and I wasn't already wearing my red lipstick and they were like, where's your lipstick? And I was like, oh, I have it. I'll just put it on when you're done. And they were like, okay, good. Because red lipstick is kind of your signature. And it was like, I would like to think that the way that I process the news and speak about it would be my signature.
Absolutely.
They're
not.
Like, absolutely. No.
No, it's the lips.
I would think it's the words coming out of my mouth. No, it's just your mouth.
But
you're here for your mouth.
I've been sitting in a makeup chair and they were doing nothing to me. And this hair and makeup people on set are the best people. And I've seen people be mean to them. And I'm like, I hope you never fucking get hired to do anything again.
Yeah.
If you're rude to the people there to make you look good, you're a monster.
Yeah, agreed.
That's a side note. And she wasn't doing anything to me. And then I was like, can I get a lash? And she goes, oh, yeah, the last girl. Because since I'm a comedian, they don't think I want glam. And I'm like, glam it up, bitch. You're trained. I want this. And so it is sort of like we're individuals. We're all allowed to approach our appearance differently on any given day.
Mm-hmm. I think one thing that the women union, I'm still going
to
harp on this.
We needed to brainstorm a name for that in advance.
Yeah, the woomian?
The woomian?
No, I don't want to be exclusive. Anyway, we'll figure something out. We'll workshop it. I think one of the things that, Megan, you're touching on is, you know, I think it's hard sometimes when you're trying to just like live your life in public to not see other people's aesthetic choices as pressure to also make those choices. And I think that you're right that it's like it's totally fine if somebody else wants to look a certain way as long as they're okay with me making a different choice.
Yeah.
But it's hard to convey that without going up to someone and be like, your choices are fine, which is a creepy thing to say to anybody at any point, especially if they're not somebody that you know.
But the fact that you would wear like a pink lip or like a nude lip and other people would be disappointed is kind of insane.
Yeah, it is kind of insane. Another thing I was thinking about is about like how the pink tax affects you if you try to be an ethical consumer. And by ethical consumer, I mean if you try to use makeup brands that pay their employees fairly, if they don't test on animals, if they use ingredients that are not bad.
Toxic.
Yeah. Or not even toxic, just ingredients that are tested and that are known to be.
And they dispose of waste in a ethical manner too.
Right. It costs
all these things.
That costs money.
Yeah.
Sure.
I want to just say one more thing. It's like I will say that I feel pressure to look a certain way. Like if I have to be like photographed or if it's like I have a friend who gave me hundreds of dollars worth of beautiful free makeup, but I'm like 45 fucking minutes to put this shit on my face with like a journal entry of like where to put the shit and you're supposed to watch a YouTube. Fuck you. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to do this. I got shit to do. I want to wear pajamas. I want to be like people to know me well enough that I can show up in a garbage bag and they're still like happy to see you. But it's like that status.
Yeah.
Like you have to get to a place, like especially in an industry like this one, where you can do that and where you can get away with that. Like I don't really feel like it's an actual choice to shave my legs. Mm-hmm. Like I know it is a choice, but I do think that there is social capital. I do think that you are gaining something when you wear a nice blouse to a place or you look a certain way. It really changes how you get to navigate through space. And it can help you to come over the hump of maybe some things that might be seen as categorical disadvantages. Do you know what I mean? Like it's the whole thing with like hoodies. You know, if you wear a hoodie and you're like versus a business suit, you know, and you're a person of color or whatever, and how you might be perceived when you're walking down the street. And then the money associated with putting that in, it's like maybe I think in a perfect world, yes, we all should like look good and we should get to like wear what we want to wear and like and do our makeup how we want to do it. But I'm going to guess that and either I'm like the one person on an island out on a limb, you know, with this one. But like I think a lot of people probably do feel like a social pressure to look a certain way. And I say this wearing no makeup on my face.
I'm currently. Like, yeah,
she's
to get glammed up. I'm in pajamas.
Right. And it's like, I love the way it's like, yeah, I see your social pressure with your ponytail and no makeup on. I was like, it's a podcast, Erin. This is a different situation.
No, but with women, when I know I'm going to be with all women and people are like, you dress for the woman sometimes, but sometimes I'm like, if I'm going to hang out with just friends, I'm not wearing makeup. I'm not doing my hair. I'm not doing any of that. And even if I was going to hang out with men, it's like I have a boyfriend. They're not going to fuck me, you know? But like right. I still am just more comfortable in my own skin, barefaced, wearing whatever I want to when I'm in a group of just women.
Yeah. And I think Karen touched on something really interesting that being able to choose when it comes to this is kind of a luxury. The more status you have, the more money you have, the more privilege you have just based on the way that you look, your race, your social class, whatever, the more you can opt out. Like, you know, I've been to comedy shows where I've seen like famous female stand-up show up with like just a messy bun on their head and in pajamas, like testing out some new material.
Right.
Killing it.
Yeah.
But if like a new stand-up did that, I would be like,
she's a mess.
Yeah. What's going on with her? So, I mean, this obviously isn't the most important thing in the world, but it's something that women think about every day. It's one of those like little invisible pockets. And I will say I've been doing my makeup the same way since I was 16 years old.
Oh, wow.
So I could basically do it sleepwalking. I can do
a cat eye?
Yeah.
You have a perfect cat eye.
Oh, thank you.
At 7:45 a.m. Yeah,
I know.
I mean, I noticed that. I'm like, Erin's got her shit together.
But I've been doing it the same way for a long time, and I use the time that I put on makeup every day. I use the time that I get ready to listen to educational podcasts because I'm like, I have this time that for whatever reason, I have to sit looking at myself in the mirror and painting my face because this is how I feel normal going through the world. And so I'll listen to like Pod Save the World sometimes. I mean, plug
but
for
you
Crooked
still
Media.
Use the word have to.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like half, you didn't say like, oh, because I like want to. Mm-hmm. I would say I feel pressure sometimes. I will do car makeup. I will say that's the one thing about Los Angeles. And then I feel like, I'm multitasking.
Yeah.
Ooh, I'm like doing it at the stoplight. And then
busy
it's like
a moment on the go.
That's right. If I have a long drive, normally I go into the car with no makeup on.
And then
I bring it. And then I'm like, oh, I'm getting so much done.
You are makeup. Dangerous.
Yeah,
you are
I live on the edge. You know what I mean? I'm drinking my coffee. I'm
curl,
doing my makeup. I'm driving the car.
Curl a lash in the car?
I'll curl a lash, but I will do mascara. Like, I'll do mascara. I'll do a full face of makeup while I drive.
I used to love watching women on the subway in New York put on makeup.
I am impressed. I've done it on the subway, and it has not turned out perfect.
On a commute.
I can do it with no mirror.
Whoa.
I know, guys.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
So I think that's about all the time we have to talk about this today. I'm sure it's going to be something that comes up again. We didn't get into the kind of can of worms of ethical consumption,
yes.
Which is something that we're definitely going to talk about more in the future, just because this is something we all think about every day, regardless of how we opt in or out. So you'll hear more about this, but we have to take a break. When we come back, the week in Sorry. Hysteria is brought to you by Quip. The truth is, finally, the truth. We've arrived. We finally got to the truth. The truth is that most of us are brushing our teeth wrong for not long enough and forgetting to change our brush on time.
I have heard that.
And I've thought about it. Like, I'll sometimes go up to the sink at night when I'm not in a position at all to buy a new toothbrush and look at it and think, you're gross.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a big teeth person.
Yeah, I mean, my teeth are fine, but God knows for how long.
I don't even think mine are fine, but I'm dedicated to them.
Well, so is Quip. For starters, Quip is an electric toothbrush that's a fraction of the cost of the bulkier brushes. They're actually really cute. Have you seen them?
They're little guys.
They're just cute little guys. Quip's built-in timer helps you clean for the dentist-recommended 2 minutes with guiding pulses that remind you when to switch sides. Quip subscription plans are for your health. Not just convenience, they deliver new brush heads on a dentist-recommended schedule every 3 months for just $5, including shipping worldwide. That is so nice. No more walking up to the sink, looking up at your toothbrush and thinking, you're gross.
Wow.
Yeah. Quip also comes with a mount that suctions right to your mirror.
Heck yeah.
Oh, man. I want a mount that suctions.
There's a lot of science behind this I like.
Yeah.
I love when things stick. I love when they vibrate. I'm in.
All kinds of stuff. It also unsticks to use as a cover for hygienic travel.
What?
Wherever you take your teeth. We can take it to outside lands.
Oh, my God. I have two separate toothbrushes, one for travel and one for home. And you know what? They're both not doing great right now.
Haven't you heard of the life-changing?
I gotta do this.
Yeah, you gotta do this. You need to tidy up. It's a life-changing magic. And finally, everyone loves Quip. They were on Oprah's O list. I think they're probably on a lot of people's O list. Named one of Time's best inventions and is the first subscription electric toothbrush accepted by the American Dental Association.
Hey.
Plus, they're backed by a network of over 20,000 dentists and hygienists, and hundreds of thousands of happy brushers use Quip every day. Quip starts at just $25, and if you go to getquip.com/hysteria right now, you'll get your first refill pack free with a Quip electric toothbrush. That's your first refill pack free at getquip.com/hysteria, spelled GETQUIP.com/hysteria. Hysteria is brought to you by Planned Parenthood.
Unstoppable is a new campaign powered by Planned Parenthood.
Unstoppable is about building a world where everyone has the freedom and opportunity to control their own bodies and their own futures.
It's a vision that Planned Parenthood has fought to achieve for over 100 years.
We believe your body is your own. We insist on the basic right to live full, healthy lives, make our own decisions, and receive the care that we need when we need it. We insist on the basic right to equal pay, access to affordable birth control, paid family and medical leave, and ending sexual violence. That seems pretty basic, huh?
Yeah.
We're bringing together the energy of millions of people who think this future is worth fighting for.
Because when we work together, we are a movement and we are unstoppable.
Amen.
Amen.
To learn more and join the movement, go to unstoppablenow.org. That's unstoppablenow.org. And we're back with The Week in Sorry. As women, we apologize too much, which is something that I'm really sorry about, but because of that,
that really got me.
Because of that, we're experts at it, right? Like, I've been doing a cat eye since I was 16 years old. I've also been apologizing since for as long as I can remember. So I can tell, and I'm sure you both can as well, when an apology is when it's sincere, when it is sufficient, and whether or not they deserve forgiveness. So we're going to go through a couple people who either did apologize or should apologize and assess their value as human beings.
And judge them.
And judge them.
Harshly.
Judge them harshly, because we're also judged all the time. So fuck, it's our turn. Okay, Megan, go ahead.
I know your judgment on this one in particular is not going to be great. This is an apology that should come and never will. So do not stay up holding your breath waiting for this. I combined two metaphors there. Also got that from my mama. LeBron James opened a school last week, a public school in the Akron School District. Incredible. He was interviewed on CNN Friday night. Afterwards, Trump tweeted, "LeBron James was just interviewed by the dumbest man on television, Don Lemon. He made LeBron look smart, which isn't easy to do. I like Mike." The Mike he's referring to is Michael Jordan.
I thought it was Mike Pence.
No, that would be fun.
If he just ended his sentences with
Mike.
I like Mike.
And you're like, Pence wrote that one. Yeah. Okay, all right. Yeah. So he does have the password. This adds another example to a long history Trump has of attacking black athletes. Trump and LeBron have a little history. LeBron tweeted at him, "You bum," which I still think the best thing you could say to him when the Warriors declined going to the White House. So the Cavs had just been beaten by the Warriors at this point, and LeBron still came to Steph Curry's defense when Trump said, "I rescind the invitation anyways." He has called NFL players sons of bitches. He's obviously very opposed to the kneeling in that sense. I think it absolutely has to do with the race. I think that's a very, very disturbing like trend that we've seen.
Mm-hmm. He's like low IQ on Maxine Waters.
It's very much attacking their intelligence. I also think Trump really hates these athletes because they're beloved too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
These are people that actually get parades. And we know this motherfucker loves parades. And
everyone loves parades.
I know,
Megan.
But him especially. I don't think I do love a parade.
I don't either.
If I was in a parade, I would
Guys!
No.
What?
No.
We're going partisan on the parade tip?
No.
This is crazy.
Because I would be thinking, this is a lot of waste of money. I don't really want to be here.
But
I don't think I should be sitting on top of a convertible. That doesn't seem safe.
Wow. Wow, the family's more conservative than I thought.
I see a lot of JFK playing in my head, you know?
The only parade you're seeing is like
bad parade.
The worst
liberals,
parade ever.
Yeah, liberals get shot. That's what happens in parades.
Exactly.
You know, confetti guns and like
a confetti
floaties
gun.
And people with popcorn and, you know.
Oh, man. So my boss at Always Sunny attended the Philadelphia Eagles Super Bowl parade, and he had some pretty funny stories.
Oh, yeah. An Eagles fan ate horse shit off the ground. And that's the type of loyalty Trump is looking for. You know, he's like, oh, people like athletes. They don't like politicians. I truly think if he could, like, go back in time and try and be an NFL quarterback, he would want to do that.
Yeah, but that would require him exercising.
Of course. But he would be like,
Can you do it in a golf cart? Can you just golf? Can you drop back to pass, like, in a golf cart in reverse? Because then he would probably do it.
Just hold the ball and then drive the cart across the field. And that's how you quarterback.
If he's found a way to be president, I think he could find a way to be an NFL quarterback. I really sadly believe that's his like dream when he sees like the love that they have. It was also announced yesterday that LeBron has teamed with Showtime. They're going to do a 3-part docuseries called Shut Up and Dribble, which is a quote Laura Ingraham said about specifically LeBron: stick to basketball, we don't need you. And I do think of all the terrible things that are coming out of this presidency, one amazing thing is that athletes and people in positions of power in that sense in the public eye are stepping up and becoming activists in a way that is so refreshing and amazing. The school that he opened, he went to the Akron School District and said, what do you need? And then poured only his own money into making that possible. And it's just something so unprecedented and is unfathomable to come from a politician in any way.
Yeah. Nothing but respect for my president, LeBron James.
Yeah.
So obviously Donald Trump should apologize, but he's not going to.
No, Michael Jordan sort of was like, my theory.
Two sentences.
Theory on, because people have been like, Jordan voted for Trump. No, Jordan didn't vote. Yeah. Jordan's not a voter. Well, you get to a certain level of rich when you truly don't care about, and I'm not saying anything that crazy. Some people think he got his dad murdered. Okay, so there's theories out there.
No, the phrase is like, everybody buys sneakers.
Yeah.
So, apology, which is never coming, would probably not be accepted anyway, right?
You bum.
All right, Karen, what do you got? Who's sorry this week?
So there was a Japanese medical school which was apologizing for keeping women out that came out this week. It was an article that NPR ran about a Tokyo medical school that was actually changing test scores of women. So the original, the number of women being admitted in 2010 was 40%. And then they were deducting points and then through the first round and then adding points to certain men so that men would get in so that they could keep the number around 30%. And this was going on for years. They found out because essentially there was like one kid whose parents, you know, like nepotism, like a pure nepotism case where it was like one kid got in and, you know, they gave a ton of money and then
they cushioned their way in.
That's right. They cushioned their way in. And then the authorities kind of took over and were like, oh, actually, he's very dumb. And there's a ton more corruption than we thought there was. This is a mess. And so the apology, it's like, listen, this is terrible and unconscionable. And Japan actually has one of the lowest rates of female doctors in the developed world. Like, so it's already like a systemic issue. So I don't know if there's an apology that you can give that would be big enough for that, especially when you consider like the Atlantic ran an article on like how female doctors are better at treating heart attacks than male doctors, especially in female patients. And I know that's going to be something that we'll get into in another episode. But what I did appreciate is that he sounded really sorry in his apology. It was like he goes into a deep bow. There was a deep bow and he expressed deep regret. And I was like, there's something I really like about the idea of when you're sorry to like bow deeply, like not just at a 45 degree angle, but I'm imagining like a full 90, like half a yoga pose.
You got to stretch.
Yeah,
for that.
That's what I mean. It's like so at least there was like the trappings of like, oh, I look really, really sorry.
Did they say why they didn't want women, like, because there's always been that, like, well, they're distracting.
And no, there's a thing about later they're going to get out of the workforce because they're going to be moms and children. So it's going to kind of be a waste of money and education. I do think it's interesting that, like, I will say it's like all of the corruption and the nepotism. I mean, it is, it's really, honestly, it's a societal loss. Like, it's, I don't know if, like, you can say I'm sorry and you can sound really genuine, but it's like, man, water under the bridge,
yeah,
man. It's like
damage.
people have, yeah, it's like, it's, this is people's lives. You know what I mean? If there's one place where you really want the best people to be, you know, like to be in charge, it's medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who do you want treating you at a hospital?
Mm-hmm. The best.
The guy who's like, the guy who's there because he earned it, the guy or girl who earned it, or is it because, you know, their parents, you know, bought the school a fridge. You know what I mean? Like, who do you want? You know, like, that's the...
Yeah.
I literally had a cousin in India who was like, that's how you get good grades in India.
You buy a fridge?
He goes, you buy the teacher a fridge.
And
he's like,
God.
He goes, yeah.
Well, so you know if you have Dr. Frigidaire when you go to the doctor that you're in, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's those are the sorries we're covering this week. We have to take a quick break. When we come back, I'll have what she's having and the hill will die on this week. We'll be back. And we're back with I'll Have What She's Having. This is where we recommend things that women have made, women have done, or women that just inspire us that are this week, not necessarily new, but just, you know, stuff. So mine is I am reading Parker Posey's new book. And by reading it, I mean I'm listening to it on Audible. And this isn't an ad for Audible. I'm just like, I just have Audible. But she reads the audio version of her book. So you get to hear her voice do this kind of kooky framing of like her memoirs. It's called You're on an Airplane. And so she frames it as like she's reading it to you, like she's saying it to you and you're sitting next to her on an airplane. And she does stuff like ask for a Diet Coke and like you hear the sound of like ice cubes in a glass. And she talks about her career and her life in Texas. And it's just really wonderful. And if you're a fan of Parker Posey, you'd be a fan of the book. She's great and the book's great. Megan, what do you got?
So mine is a lady named LaTanya Pinkard. She is featured on a Netflix series right now called Last Chance You. It's in its third season. The first two seasons were at a different school. Now this is the third season, new school. She is an English teacher at a junior college who is probably the most incredible, inspiring teacher that I've ever seen, like, documented on film. She's an African-American woman. Most of the students are African-American, and she... just, bringing like linebackers to tears is what's happening. If you don't want to invest in watching the full show, there was a Sports Illustrated article that came out July 26th that profiles just her. And she's just incredible. And she really, she gives you great hope. And she's a woman serving a lot of different looks.
Ooh, that sounds great. Karen, what's your recommendation?
Mine was in the comedy lineup, which is Netflix's 15-minute specials. Michelle Buteau is the first one.
Love her.
Yeah.
I love her.
So funny. So, like, I mean, it's just such a great way to open it. She's so much fun. She's having so much fun. I think in specials, like, especially for 15 minutes, it's really hard to not sound canned or sound like, oh, I'm just, like, reciting my material. Like, this is important. And she's, like, really in the room. Mm-hmm. Like, she doesn't give a fuck. She's just having so much fun. She has a great joke about, like, the Me Too movement that I've, like, been quoting to people that I don't want to ruin for you. And it's only 15 minutes. Totally worth checking out.
Oh, she's great. She's also in the reboot of The First Wives Club.
Yeah.
What? Yeah.
Announced this week.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, which is going to be great. She's just, like, I love her. I worked with her in my first TV writing job at Best Week Ever. I used to write a segment for her called Panties On, Panties Off. And if you can imagine, if you know Michelle's style and like my style, so I was like writing stuff and she would say it and like we would kind of work it out so that it mm-hmm. worked for her voice. So it was sort of like overly in her own head feminist nerd meets Michelle Buteau. Like it was, she was just a dream to work with and I can't wait to watch her 15 minutes. That sounds awesome.
Sabrina Jalisse too, also a woman mm-hmm. on the 15 mm-hmm. minutes. Incredible.
Awesome.
That's a great one.
A lot of good comedy out now, guys.
There's a lot of it out.
All right. Now we're going to move on to the last That was so Minnesota nice, Megan.
I'm sorry.
You're not even from Minnesota.
That was shade. It was shade. But there is a lot of great comedy out because there's a lot of comedy out.
That's true.
So maybe that's the less
that
shade.
That was a good sorry after the sorry segment.
Damn it.
I accept.
Sorry.
Yeah. I accept.
I don't.
Oh. Ooh.
All right.
I'm still reeling over the parades comment.
You're going to apologize to me after this.
Okay, guys. The hill I will die on. Mine is super spooky or weird this week. But I was thinking the other day, I think about ghosts a lot. And I was thinking, like, what's the scariest genre of ghost? And it's little girls.
Ooh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
By far the scariest genre of ghost. And my theory about why, if you ask anybody, most people would probably say little girls are the scariest ghosts. If you watch a horror movie, it's like little girl ghosts. It's the scariest
one. Play with me.
I like that you said genre. Genre of ghost. The genre of ghost that bothers me the
most. They always want to play.
I like thrash metal ghosts. But I think that people are the most afraid of little girl ghosts because society is meanest to little girls. And I think the more cruel society is to a demographic, the more we realize that society is cruel to a demographic, the scarier they are in their afterlife.
They got a bone to pick.
They've got a B-O-O-O-O-O-O-N-E to pick.
A boon to pick. Too soon.
I know. Kieran, what's yours?
I think this is going to be pretty unpopular in this room, given the parades. But I will look at my horoscope.
Yeah.
Like, I'll read it. I will look at tarot cards. And my thing on this is it's like, I don't know about free will. Like, I'm not sure that free will is for me. Like, do I really want to be responsible for everything in my life? Like, everything that's, like, all on me? Uh-huh. I was like, that's not a good, like, it's like, right now we have this asshole as president, and I know this is going to go against your voting initiative.
Everybody vote.
Yeah, everybody vote. Everybody, don't listen to her. But I'm like,
everybody vote or volunteer to watch the kids of people who need childcare on voting day.
Or drive old people.
Drive people. Do whatever you can. Everybody
Unless
vote.
Unless they're Republicans.
But anyway, tell me more about free will, Karen.
But there's a thing. It's like, it's nice a little bit of yourself. Do you know what I mean? It's like, there is stuff that is out of your control, and sometimes it's just nice to be like, oh, was it me? Was it something that I did? Or is the world a garbage fire because Mercury's in retrograde?
Yeah.
Like, it's just a little easier sometimes to just be like, oh
man.
Like, just a little bit of relief.
This was out of my hands.
Yeah.
Yeah, this one was out of my hands. This one was because of the rings of Jupiter or whatever.
I'm with you on this.
I could not be less with you.
Thank you, Megan.
I'm with you.
Oh my God.
I am sorry for earlier. When you are having a personal emotional crisis and you're like, why is everything a garbage fire? And then you can click on a little link and you can be like, oh, that's why. Because of the moon card. It's the moon card that made it this way.
I will die trying to light this hill on fire.
And we will be clutching our fire cards.
Megan, what do you got this week?
I prefer Funyuns to onion rings.
Huh.
Give me a Funyun over an onion ring. I don't know. That's what I want. I do a lot of flavor-based hills that I'm dying on. Last week I did LaCroix. No one was that mad at me. Funyuns. I want a Funyun over an onion ring. That's
The onion ring is the warm one, right?
I don't care. I just like the Funyun.
Okay. You just like the flavor.
Yeah, and you know, I've had like loaded baked potato chips. You know, there's lots of flavor chips happening.
There's a lot of trash out there to eat.
And those I'm not even really there for. But the Funyun, I think, has perfected the onion ring. And sometimes you bite into an onion ring and then you like pull and stuff doesn't come.
I don't like onion rings either. I'm with you on that.
Okay.
And there's a crunch in the Funyun.
Yeah.
There's a crunch. There's something about a crunch that's always satisfying.
Mm-hmm.
And Aaron's looking pretty skeptical.
I took this, like, as soon as I moved out here, like, almost three weeks ago now, I was like, you know what? I'm going to eat healthy because, like, there's so much produce and so much healthy food out here, and it just is easy. And also, we, like, get lunch ordered every day at work, and I just am like, salad. So I haven't eaten fried food at all. And the other day, I had, like, a tater tot, and it made my stomach just hurt. So I think I've lost the ability to eat Funyuns and onion rings.
Oh, you're one of those now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I love a tater tot. I go on record, I like a tater tot more than a french fry.
I think I'm going to try it. Whoa.
Wow.
I don't fucking care anymore.
Oh, these are very interesting hills. I don't know if I'll ever get on the Funyun Hill or the Mercury and Retrograde Hill.
Amen.
Shut down.
And that was Hysteria. If you like what you heard, subscribe on iTunes and tell your friends. You can also catch us live at our first show, 4 p.m. on Sunday at Outside Lands in San Francisco. We'll be on the Barbary stage. And we'll be back with more Hysteria next week.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.